Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today with another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us to gather by the radio and study the Word of God together. Let me encourage you, if it's at all possible today, you get your Bible and study along with us as we open the Word of God together. We're looking again at the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and we're reading verse number 7, 8, and 9. Here the Word of God said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse number 8 said, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then in verse number 9, the Word of God said, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I began a message several days ago using this passage of scripture and looking at God's law of the harvest, and then looking at what a missions meeting will do for the local church. When the law of the harvest, when God's principle, God's plan for giving to missions is presented to the church. I'm not talking about just a missions meeting that will honor some denominational program or some mission agency, but where you have a man of God who has a knowledge of the Word of God about missions, has a touch of God on his life, would come in and preach and teach the people the principles laid out in God's Word about missions and have a mission program that would honor the Word of God and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pointed out in these verses, here God introduces us to the law of the harvest, God's law of the harvest. And let me emphasize again, I cannot overemphasize this, there never has been and there never shall be a crop failure in God's harvest. If you sow it, you will reap it. And I pointed out four truths about God's law of the harvest. First of all, you reap what you sow. Second, you reap after you sow. And then thirdly, you reap more than you sow. And then number four, you reap according to how much you sow. And then we saw in verse number 8, there are two fields that we can sow in. We can sow in the field of the flesh, or we can sow in the field of the Spirit. If we sow in the field of the flesh, then we'll reap the fruit of corruption. But if we sow in the field of the Spirit, then we will, in the field of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Somebody will be saved by our sowing to the Spirit of God. And what a joy it's been. And what a joy it is to have, down through the years, have the privilege of sowing to the Spirit of God. I look forward. I can honestly say, many don't understand this, but I can honestly say, I look forward to the judgment seat of Christ to see what God has done with the seed that I've sown in the field of the Spirit of God down through these years. I rejoice in the privilege. I don't have to sow to the flesh. I don't have to reap corruption, but I can sow to the Spirit. I have sown to the Spirit, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God's done when I stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I've been trying to emphasize the importance of having a mission meeting in the local church. I believe that an understanding of missions by the average church member would increase the giving to missions in such a manner that we could finance a worldwide missions program even in just a very short period of time. And so God lays out this. And by the way, we'd be foolish to think God would give us a commission that we could not carry out. We'd be foolish to think that God would give us a commission that He would not provide for. We're His children. We're His servants. We're the soldiers in His army. And He'll supply everything that we need and take care of us as we serve Him in the work of our God. So I pointed out to you the importance of a mission meeting is this. First of all, a mission meeting where the Word of God is expounded and the principles of God's method of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving is taught will increase the faith of that local church. We saw second that a mission meeting will improve the fellowship of that local church. Thirdly, we saw that a missions meeting will ignite a fire in that local church. Revival fires burn again. Then number four, we saw that missions giving and a mission meeting would increase the finances of that local church. And again, let me just say this. I saw it happen so many times. There are those who think, well, if we increase our giving to missions and we open up an opportunity for people to give personally to a mission budget in our church, then it would take away from the church budget. But it's not so. I've seen it happen so many times. When the mission giving increases, then also the regular church offering increases. It's God's principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, after you sow, more than you sow, but according to how much you sow. But not only would it increase the faith of the church, improve the fellowship of the church, ignite the flames of fire of revival in the church, and increase the finances of the church, but a mission program that honors God, that is based upon the Word of God, will enlarge the field of the local church. This was an exciting thing when God let me see this. You see, the average church, if you just worked yourself, you just worked there on your local field. Fact is, if you were to start your church building where your church is located, and you started just working a circle around that building, going around and around, enlarging the circle as you went around, and you reached your neighborhood, you visited every house on every block, down every street, down every lane, down every road, you visited every person in your area. Many of you would never get out of your county until you died. And all you would have is fruit at the judgment seat of Christ would be the fruit from your local community, your local city, or your local county. And some of you might reach out a little farther and a little farther, but it would be very limited. I'd hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and all the fruit that I have would be what I have harvested myself right here in the area that God's let me live in and God's let me labor in. But through missions, we enlarge the coast, we enlarge the field of our local church. You see, as we take on missionaries, the missionary literally becomes an extension ministry of the local church. They do not go off, as it were, to separate themselves from our church, but they go as laborers together with the membership of our church and enlarging and increasing the ministry of our local church. So missions will increase the field of the local church. I look at missionaries in this manner. I realize this is not a Bible term, but a missionary is the office manager of a branch office of that sending church and those supporting churches. Every time you take on a missionary, he does not go separate from you to do a work of God, but he goes for you. He's a representative of yours. He's an ambassador of God and a representative of that local church. Paul said of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse number 5, he said, and they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave themselves unto the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. That's verse 5. Verse number 4, he said, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. So the missionary is a minister to the saints that send him and support him while he goes there and labors in the work of God. And so he goes there as an office manager of a branch office of your local church. It's your church extending its ministry, opening another branch office somewhere else in the world, and doing business with God, and your missionary becomes the branch manager of that new work that you're doing around the world. And that's the way it is. Every missionary you take on opens up another branch office, and around the world you can go. You can go from state to state, from street to street, from state to state, from shore to shore, and until the world becomes your field, and you can be working and having through the missionaries a work of God around the world. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse number 38, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the field is the world. And so you can have missionaries around the world enlarging the ministry, the outreach, the field of your local church. And as you do this, then Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 17, he said to these supporting saints at Philippi, he said, it's not that I desire the gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Who did he say that to? He said that to a supporting church, the church at Philippi. It's the same passage of scripture where Paul said to that same church, you see, the church at Philippi had created a need in their life by giving to the missionary need of the apostle Paul. And now Paul said to them in Philippians 4:19, since you've done this, then my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So a mission program is just an enlarging of the field. It's a moving out. I say to the people as I go preach, catch a missionary not listening, not watching, and take him on and dump on him the responsibility to go for you and get the blood of the lost souls in that particular field over your hand at the judgment seat of Christ. And so a missions program enlarges the field of that local church, and the church can reach out and keep reaching out farther and farther in the work of God. Let me just share this. Our church, to God be the glory, we now help support over 300 missionaries. I think about 325 missionaries, and we help them week after week. And so by doing that, we have a missions program that encircles the globe. The sun never sets on the work of our Concord Baptist Church, where I'm a member, and the sun never sets on it. We have somebody always around the clock involved in the work of missions. You see, the Lord gave us a commission. You know what it was? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a commodity. We have a goods, the gospel, and God gave it to us pre-addressed to all the world. How are we going to get it there? How are we going to reach around the world? We're going to take the missionaries that are going, that God calls. We're going to support them with our finances. We're going to support them with our prayers. We're going to stand by them. They're going as co-laborers, working with us, and it's just our church enlarging its coast and reaching out in a greater method to reach the world with the gospel of the grace of God. Let me give you this. This is a blessing to my heart. You see, we support missionaries. In fact, we have a missionary out of our church working, serving the Lord in the country of Australia. Australia right now is about 14 hours ahead of us on the clock. So that means in Australia on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday morning there is 8 o'clock Sunday evening, or Saturday evening rather, here. Saturday evening here in America at 8 o'clock is 10 o'clock Sunday morning in Australia. You know what happens at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening for us? Our missionary in Australia, our missionaries, we support more than one over there, they start our Sunday school. And then at 9 o'clock, they start our preaching service. And it comes around the globe. You get out into Korea, Taiwan, and that area, Japan, 12 hours ahead of us. That means at 10 o'clock at night, on Saturday evening, they start our Sunday school for us. You come on into Asia and Europe, and to that part of the world, some of them for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours ahead of us. So if you take that off at 10 o'clock, that means at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody's starting our Sunday school. And so around the world, our Sunday lasts over 30 hours of preaching and presenting the gospel of the grace of God. Somebody said to me on Monday, how many did you have in Sunday school yesterday? I have to say, I don't know. The report's not in. How many were saved yesterday? I don't know. The report's not in. And I know some of you take lightly what I'm saying, but I'm not taking it lightly. It's an honor. It's a privilege that God lets me be a part of a church with an outreach where the sun never sets on the mission program. And around the world, we're seeing people saved by the grace of God. So missions will increase the field of that local church. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell others about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.
It's growing late. Behold, the fields are white. It's home.